Yo gorillas, welcome to the Athlete Insider podcast by Gor Nation. My name is Phil and today's guest is a special guest, somebody that I was looking forward to interview from the beginning on of this podcast interview, somebody that you requested since the beginning, an endurance legend, a calisthenics legend, somebody who inspires athletes out there in the whole world. I'm really happy to make this possible and that you take the time, Zef Zaccavelli.
Yes, I'm Zef Zaccavelli. Can't say anything more.
Great. Yeah, I'm really happy to make this possible. Really happy that you make this possible with your time. And we directly can kick off with the question for the people who don't know you or who would like to know how you present yourself. Who is Zef Zaccavelli? How do you present yourself?
I'm Zef Zaccavelli, the student and the teacher at the same time. I've been doing calisthenics for many years, many decades, you know, and I'm still learning as we speak right now. So that's it. I just try to travel the world and make friends and teach people and help motivate and inspire people. Just a simple dude right there.
Great. Sounds really great. And before we get into the story, how you found your sport, etc., let's kick off with the hard facts that people are always interested in. How tall are you?
5'10".
5'10". Do you know the centimeters number? It's always...
No. You know, it's Americans, man.
Yeah. 5'10 in centimeters, it's 178. So exactly like me, 178 centimeters for the European people. How old are you?
I'm 43 years old.
43. Wow. That's also really interesting. Of course I know it, but if I see you like this, I don't expect it. So that's also a really, really cool thing. And the last question, how heavy are you?
I fluctuate from 147 pounds to 157. 157 being the heaviest I weigh. Currently right now, I'm probably 150, 149 right now.
Okay. That's around 67 kg again for the the European listeners. Great. So let's get back a few years, I guess. How did you get in touch with the sport?
How did I get in touch with the sport? It became a sport while I was trying it out. I can't say. It didn't exist as a sport, you know, and I still don't really think it's a sport right now officially. So I've been doing calisthenics since I was a child, since my brother used to punish me by doing push-ups. So, you know, throughout the years, it's been off and on. As a teenager, I got introduced to weights and started working out to gain size. I always wanted to gain size because I was always the smallest guy. So, I would say, like, fast forward to 1996, and it just became strictly calisthenics. Because even though we would do weight training, our weight training would consist of the routines that we do now in calisthenics. So our breaks would be calisthenics and then to the weights and back and forth, vice versa, just like that. So I say 1996, we left the weights alone because of all the injuries, and we started to be more competitive with the calisthenics more than the weights. So we just stuck to the calisthenics from there. So I would say it's from 96, 97.
Wow. Wow. Like most of the listeners, I guess, will be born after this because we have a lot of young listeners. You said that you had a lot of injuries with weights. Can you explain that more?
We used to bench a lot because doing the bench press, that's like the standard right there to show that you're strong and not how much you could bench press. Yeah. So I learned my breathing technique from that also. I used to get a lot of headaches because I would hold my breath when we bench press. And the way how we would start our workouts, we would do the max. So we'd take all the weights that we have in the basement, stack it on the barbell, and try to lift the max and try to max out and try to progress every day. So I would notice I would get a headache every day, and that would be from me holding my breath. So besides the headaches I used to get, I was always, again, I was always the smallest guy. So I would be trying to push more than I should. And that would lead to chest injury, shoulder, sometimes on my bicep. And it started to get frustrating because anytime I would make progress, I would get injured and it would set me back like 2 steps. So
okay.
That was really it for me as far as like the injuries. Nothing serious as far as me having to go get surgery or anything like that.
Okay.
Fortunately,
true. How did your first trainings in calisthenics go? Like you said, push-ups was one of the basic exercise. Was it always push-ups, dips, muscle-ups, pull-ups, or?
It was always push-ups. Push-ups was always like the blueprint because there was no excuse.
Yeah.
You know, no matter where you were able to do push-ups, and that's how we would compete. You know, I have a lot of friends that been away. They'll come home or they'll come to the block where I used to hang out and chill. Mm-hmm. And that would be a challenge, you know, as men who you like to challenge each other, and push-ups was one of those things. So who could do more, who could stop, or who could break first. So push-ups was always the number one, and that's what really got me strong.
Okay. When I hear that, how you talk, it really seems that, like, as you said, maybe already a little, that calisthenics isn't like a sport for you or only like your workout or something, but it's like part of your life. Like it was your lifestyle. Maybe also compare it to skating, like skaters always like it's their how they spend their times to hang around with friends, skate a little. And like for calisthenics athletes, I see a lot that they like just the group, the dynamic of the group is to work out together, to hang out together, to do some challenges. Is it like this?
That's how it was for us when we started, as far as like the pioneers of it, I would say. That's how it started for us. It wasn't a sport. It wasn't that many competitions. It wasn't any competitions at the time when I started. So that's what made it hard for me when competitions start happening. For me to enter a competition, to be judged by people who just started, you understand? Like, I felt like, how can you judge me? How can you tell me I'm doing it wrong when you just learning yourself and you don't know what wrong or right is? So that's what I'm saying. When you first asked the question of what introduced me to the sport, it was no sport. Like you just said, it was a culture. Calisthenics is a culture, and it still is to me to this day.
Get it. Yeah, but I still liked your attitude that you're the teacher and the student at the same time. So learning and like open to feedback. That's how it sounds for me. But still, I can imagine that the situation, like being judged by somebody who is like doing the sport for 1 or 2 years and you're doing it for, I don't know, 5 years, 10 years, even longer. That's a funny situation or a weird situation. That you have to put your ego beside, I guess.
It is funny because those competitions that started at that time, the first, besides it being basic reps where you count the reps, the when the freestyle competitions came, I would say the form again, that's based on opinion. You know, a move that I might do will take a lot of strength compared to a momentum move that someone else would do, but will look more flashier, he would get a higher score. You understand? So yeah. those variables right there turned me off from competing in a freestyle competition. And as far as a basic competition, you know, full ROM and the biasnesses of the competition and the judges lead to a conflict also. And that got me away from those type of things also.
Yeah, I can understand. We received a lot of questions about the Barbarians and your team, your project, etc. Do you want to take us in the story of the Barbarians?
Where do I start? As far as Barbarians, as far as the name Barbarians, and I said this story, you know, a million times. Barbarians is not the act of being barbaric. It's more of being from a place where there's nothing but bars, you know, to work out. You know, like if there was a planet called Bar, I would be from that planet. So I'm a barbarian. You understand? So that's as far as how the name came about. I always had a group of friends that would work out and do calisthenics, but we never really formed a group or came up with a name or say we could be a team, or we was already a family, but a team until we seen that. You know, I give credit to the bartenders for that. It was another New York group that they came up with a team, and they made it cool to have like a team, a workout team. So that's when we decided, or I decided, Barbarians, that's going to be our name, you know, for what we do right here. You know, as time progressed, you know, I didn't want people to just join the group just because they had a back in arms and pull-ups just to wear my shirt and just to have the brand and walk around. We wasn't a gang. You understand? I cared more about quality. So you had to prove yourself that you was worthy of representing Barbarians. So I came up with the requirements where you had to do a certain amount of reps in a certain amount of time in a certain form with quality. That was like the first requirement at that time, physical requirement at that time, which I learned that the physical part is very, you know, that's second priority right there. The main priority is the character, and the loyalty was number one. So no matter if you were strong enough to do the requirements, that didn't mean you was a barbarian, because you didn't fit that mold, that character of what it means to be a barbarian. And we are family, in a sense. So throughout the years, I learned that from people who joined and people who, you know, fell out, that it wasn't a good mesh. They had different motives of joining Barbarians, and, you know, I learned. So the requirements got tougher and tougher every year, as it is today.
Okay. And the requirements today for the people who are asking themselves, oh, could I do it? Can you tell the requirements of today?
The physical requirements, the BBRs, the BBRs is 5 muscle ups, 50 dips, 30 pull ups, 60 push ups, 5 muscle ups within 5 minutes. And you can't break any number, and the form has to be near perfect.
Okay. So you can make a break, do a break after the muscle ups, for example, before the dips, but you can't interrupt your dips to and split them into 2 sets.
Exactly. Yes. Yes. Okay.
Cool. Yes. Nice. A question that just popped into my mind. When was the first time that you heard the name calisthenics, the word?
I can't even tell you that.
But is it 12 years ago or 20, or I don't know, like approximately?
That's over 30 years ago.
30? Wow. 30,
okay. Yeah, over 30 years ago.
Wow.
Okay. I could think of that.
Because, like, I don't know, it feels so weird, this interview, because when I have somebody who is like doing calisthenics for 10 years, he's like an OG. He's like somebody who is doing the sport for a long, long time. And you're the one like that is in the sport for such a long time that it feels so weird because like you're doing the sport for such a long time and you're like, I don't know how to, you know, you see my confusion. It's just nice. Yeah. So, let's talk about the evolution and the development of calisthenics. How do you see the beginnings of the sport? How do you see the sport today? The development from your eyes?
Oh, it's going good. At a point it was stagnant for a while, but, I like that it's more broad now, and it's not a, how could I say it? At a point, there was the freestylers and the people that did the reps and sets, and they would, you know, have a conflict. Now I see like it coexists now, and it's accepted. You know, you could be good at freestyling elements, and you can be good at reps and and whatever you want to do. I see the growth. I see the YouTube changed a lot. Also, it become now like a profession now. You know, people could actually make money off of calisthenics now, and I think that's a good thing. But I also feel it's kind of bad in the sense that people don't give recognition to how it started or shine light on the culture aspect of it, and not so much keeping a spotlight on them and just trying to propel themselves. Competition-wise, I see that it's gotten better too, because there's more people doing it. Through the course of time, I feel it would get better, and a stricter judging system would be implemented. Something like the Olympics, where it could have a guideline for the freestylers that is just not straight based on opinion, is based on skill and skill level of the move that they did. As far as reps concerned, it should be some standard of what a decent rep is and what is not. But we'll get there. We'll get there. I like how it's going though. And not so many words. It's fine.
Okay. Cool. How does your workout schedule look like today? Because you're like a father, right? So you're also limited in time. So how does your workout schedule look like today? For a week.
Since the COVID, and since it's winter, I haven't been working out as much. I just been doing my Zoom training and my Patreon, and just designing programs and making my videos when I can. It's the training right now is kind of down right now because of the schedule with the kids, and I don't have that much access anymore. I don't want to really go to the gym anymore. My home setup is so much I could do. I really love being outdoors. So I'm just waiting till the spring. And then plus I told you about the surgery that I have. So I really want to get past that so I could heal and come back fresh for spring.
Okay.
So that's my typical day. I still manage every night. I still have to do a clip. I still have to do a 40, 80 push-ups just to maintain and just to check to know that I'm not falling off. You know, one of my goals for the winter was to be able to do 50 pull-ups indoors. And I was able to do that last week. So
congrats.
I still got it. I'm not that old yet. Thanks.
What does 40-80 mean?
40-80. 40 pull-ups, okay. 80 push-ups right after each other.
Wow. Well, respect for that. People are, I know that people will ask now, yeah, but your normal workout schedule for a week, like, can you tell how you train, like, normally? How does 1 week, how is your split, you know, like stuff like that?
Okay. I say like a summer week or summertime. It changes. I don't like to keep a certain schedule because it gets boring. It starts to turn to work. Working out to me should be fun, you know? So it changes every day. I could just tell you the only thing that stays the same is the time that I work out. So I would start at 6 o'clock, go to the park, depending on who came to work out that day. I would design the routine that we're going to do that day. If it's me by myself, which usually it's not, because I really don't like to work out by myself anymore, because I don't push myself as much when I'm by myself. I would have to put on a camera. So it would start with a warm up of on the minute. On the minute is 25 push-ups on the minute, every minute. Based on how good I'm in shape, it will either be 20 minutes or 40 minutes. I don't go past the 60 anymore, do 60 anymore, because I start getting bored quick now. So 40 minutes, warm up, push-ups, 25 on the minute. Then I'll go to the pulls. You know, again, it varies on who's around, what routine I'm going to do. And I will go back to the push-ups and I will go back and forth depending on how much time and the mood.
Okay.
So, and that's how it will go pretty much every day.
Wow.
But like I say, like a 4-hour workout.
4-hour workout. Okay. But the exercise that you do, like you also do muscle ups, or is it just, I don't know, to show off, like not to show off, but you also do like dips or muscle ups, right?
The muscle ups, it depends on what the routine calls for. Mm-hmm. I don't do muscle up routines anymore because of the wrist, the injury wrist. Mm-hmm. Excuse me. The dips where I work out in Wingate, I don't like that dip bar. So I would substitute and do straight bar dips, and that would consist of a muscle up. You know, through years of working out and experience, you know what to do and what to stay away from, what's mm-hmm. necessary and what's unnecessary. The muscle ups, you know, that's gonna be like in my DNA to do a muscle up. Mm-hmm. So I could go a whole year without doing a muscle up, and you ask me to do a muscle up and I'll show you a real muscle up, you know. Same thing with a one-arm pull-up. I could go a whole year without doing a one-arm pull-up, a lever, whatever you ask me to show you, I can do it just based on my trainer.
Okay. But like also the second, like I think the most asked question was about your front lever, because that's quite impressive. Even me, when I see it, I think, oh, that looks solid. Like how do you maintain it? Is it just by doing pull-ups, or why is it so strong?
Yes, it's basically off the training. Like I said, the routines are never the same every session. Mm-hmm. So some routines will have a lot of core work mixed into the routine, mixed in with the pull-ups, and that would often strengthen me. I don't train for the lever. I don't train for the planche. But based on the routines that I do and those push-ups, the holds, the planking on the holds, all of those things help and transition to those elements. You know, I may not be able to hold the lever for 30 seconds, but if I wanted to on that, best believe I can do that same thing with the planche. The only element that I never mastered or didn't get the hang of is the handstand. And it's because I'm so scared of being upside down. I feel so awkward. I feel like I'm going to break my neck. And every year I tell myself I'm going to get it. And at one time that I was getting close to getting it, I got injured from doing weighted dips. And I stopped. But I'm going to get it. Trust me, guys. I'm going to get the handstand and I'll make you guys happy.
Okay. So is it a requested thing, or what do you say? I'll make you guys happy.
Yeah, it's a requested thing, because it's one of those things we never seen Zeph do. You know, a lot of people know me now for the reps and sets. A lot of people don't go back. You know, that's why I'm surprised that you complimented me on my lever. I often never hear that, you know, because, like, I don't know, people just choose to see the now or what I've been doing yesterday. And, you know, I could understand that. But I came on YouTube from doing, you know, different moves. It wasn't straight sets, reps and sets when I started YouTube. From my first video, the first video I did that I uploaded, it was 2004. And I uploaded it in 2007, I think. And I did a little routine, and then I went into the lever, and that was the first time my friend seen that. And that was actually the first time I did it. And my friend, he didn't know what it was. He you could hear him on the video. If you guys get some time, or yeah, I care, go back to the first video and you'll hear him like, "What's that? I thought you was doing something new." And you see me go in and start the lever, and I stayed straight. I didn't get perfectly horizontal, but my body was straight in a line, and I was going there. And my grip was wide also. So that's just from my training that I developed those strengths to do those different moves.
Okay. So it really transfers from the reps that you do, from the push-ups and pull-ups, to the static moves.
Exactly. That's why I tell people, don't take those things granted. You can perfect your planche, your lever, all of those things. And I noticed the guys that's really good at it, you see they their setups are in their bedrooms, meaning they practice that day and night by themselves, but they don't, you're missing the other beauties of calisthenics, you know, to go outside, to meet people, to make friends, to work, you know, you can't just focus on one thing because you're only going to be strong at that one thing. What happens when you get challenged to do something else? What happens when you get older? What happens when you get my age?
Wow.
You know, you'll have a good lever, you'll have a good planche. There's going to be another person that's going to have a better one, hold it longer. I see guys planche on their fingers. You know, that's crazy. I see guys balance on bottles and levers, like, I mean, on a planche, like, you know. But I have yet to see a 43-year-old doing those things. So what happens to these guys when you get to that age?
Yeah.
You know, what happened to the friends that you made when you get that age? What happens to the people you teach? If you taught anyone, because, you know, you've been practicing that move in your bedroom all this time, you didn't get to go teach anyone. You know, I don't want to go off a rant, but yeah.
Okay. What do you think is the reason why you are like on a such a high level? Is it consistency? Is it your good genetics? Is it the food that you take? Is it your mindset? What, or is it a combination of everything? What's the reason?
You just answered it. You just answered it in those steps right there.
Okay.
Exactly what you said. You just took the words out of my mouth. Consistency. My genetics, I would say my genetics, but I'm not blessed. If I stop working out, I'll be skin and bones. So I can't really say good genetics, I wish. The way how I eat, the older I get, I eat better and better. Like, I try to eat better and better the older I get, because I learned how important that was. You know, I'm not young where I could eat junk food and get up and go do 20 muscle-ups again. You know, I have to watch what I eat. I avoid the sugar, I avoid salt. You know, the fried food, I have to reward myself. So if I work out, have a good workout week, I could eat some fried chicken and stuff like that. I have to be focused. I have to be driven. The people that I teach, the people that I inspire, I want them to be stronger than me. So I have to keep excelling. Because when I stop, you know, chances are they may stop too, or they may feel like that's where it's at. I want them to get stronger. So when they surpass me and I catch up to them, I keep pushing them. So that's the focus that I have, that, you know, every day I get up, I feel, oh, I touch that ball. I touch the ball every day. I from the age of, I would say, 38, every time I touch the ball, every time the season starts, I feel like, okay, is this your last year, SF, or was last year your last year? You know, and I push myself. And then sometimes I impress myself sometimes, and I'm reminded, like, okay, SF, you got another year. You got another year to do it, you know, and that's how it's been. So, yeah, you have to have focus. I set goals for myself every season. I set it every day, honestly. I set goals and I try to get them accomplished, if not the next day, by the end of the week.
Do you have an idea how long this will, like, go on? Like, I don't want to bring you in any crisis or something, or it shouldn't sound provocative or something. Do you think, like, you will do this? You will be able to do this for 15 years, 20 years, or like, how do you feel about the future? Are you scared, or are you motivated to, like, push further, or what's the feeling?
Oh, I feel like until my deathbed. You know, God forbid if I get sick or anything, that would be the only way to stop me. But if not that, I see me being old and gray and still trying to keep up with the younger generation. I'm not scared about what the future holds. You know, I deal with today right now, you know, and I don't try to worry about things that I can't control. Right now I can control, you know, what I do as far as physically and, you know, help inspire people. I feel like I prove my methods work. I'm living proof of my method, of my barbarian training. So every year that I do something impressive, it's more proof that my method works. You know, I'm 43. I'm going to be 44, actually, in June. You know, my goal is to do 50 pull-ups when I'm 50, you know, and hopefully I'll get 60 this summer, you know, and it's proof. I don't have to talk at that point. You know, I show that, you know, you don't even have to get any of my routines. You see it in my face. Like you said, when I tell you my age, it's like, wow, that's you look good for your age, you know, basically. Yeah. I like to hear that. That means I'm doing something good.
Yeah.
You know?
True. And when there are like 20-year-olds or 16-year-old people and asking you how to get like arms like you, that's a good sign. That's a good sign that you're doing something in the good way. So yeah, just take it as a compliment, really.
Yes. Yeah, I do. I hear that all the time, like your arms, and that's from decades of just pulling. That's decades of pulling and changing the different variations. But you know, it took years. You know, it took years because again, I'm naturally a slim guy, so the moment I stopped working out, everything would just go back to its natural state. So from years of telling my body, I need you guys. I need the arms, you know. Yeah. Body was like, all right, we're gonna keep that right there.
That's good. Nice. Yeah, you're like, when you go into workout, what is your mindset like? Are you like, during your sets, are you like really calm or are you aggressive? Are you like, how does it look like in your mind?
It depends on the goal, because I'm very competitive. You know, I have my brothers that push me. You know, sometimes I like to trash talk to help that motivation for them to trash talk in return. So we have to prove it to each other. So, you know, based on who I'm working out with, you know, I have my brother Kino, AKA the leader. That's his name, the leader. So by his name alone tells you, you know, he's my biggest competitor because he's the leader. You know, that he took the leader of Barbarian. So I compete with him. And that came about from us challenging each other and him beating me and him throwing up his hands and saying, okay, I'm the leader now. So that's my focus sometimes when we're going into workout, is who's gonna break first with certain people, you know, and others, it's really about the goal that I set today. You know, I may have a routine I think of the night before and I want to get that done to see if I could accomplish it without a break in it, or see if I could just accomplish it, period. So I will be focused on that. Most of the time it's just, I'm out there just to maintain and just to get a good workout. That's usually a good day for everyone else. You know, a bad day is when I may see a video or something on social media got me upset. And then that day, you know, I have a purpose. It's a lot. It's different every day, you know. Sometimes some people may need discipline also. I'll go in the park and someone may need some discipline in that day and I have to break them, You know, I don't want to give out too much secrets, but that happened. You know?
Okay.
Sometimes, you know, this calisthenic game, it helped a lot of people in the self-esteem and made people, you know, ego driven, you know. Mm-hmm. So sometimes if I'm fortunate to get to encounter these people, I get to discipline them, you know, so that's my mind state for those days. I love those days. Those are my favorite days. You know, I love to catch those guys. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's different every day.
Okay. Makes sense. Somebody asked if you can explain the quote, the hardest set is that you never attempted.
The hardest set is the one that you never attempted. To me, it's because you didn't try. You know, it was so hard that you gave up even before you started. You didn't tell yourself that you can do it, and you couldn't even bring yourself to go and even make the attempt. So you don't know. You don't know how hard or difficult that set was because you didn't try it. You understand? So it's left as a mystery. You know, you have to try no matter what it is. It could be a 50 muscle up routine. If you didn't try it, you couldn't bring yourself to try it. You don't know. You know, you understand? If you can understand what I'm saying, you don't know how difficult it was if you didn't try it. You have to bring yourself and prepare yourself first and get that routine done in your head. Tell yourself you could do it first before you actually go and do it. If you can't do that, then every routine is going to be difficult to you. If you can't get the enough motivation for you to go even try a routine. Most people won't try a routine based on what they think it may be difficult. They hear the numbers, they hear the elements that's involved, and they won't even bring themselves to even try it or attempt it. And that routine can be easy. You understand? How would you know if you never tried it? You know, certain people, they need to see it done so they can know it's achievable before they even make an attempt. You know, so yeah, a lot of people, first you have to complete that routine in your head first. Tell yourself that you can do it and you're going to do it, and then go out there and actually do it.
Okay. Yeah. I would be interested in your nutrition a little, because something that I heard, that the older you get, the less you have to eat, because your body slows down, like the metabolism, is it called, or like in general, do you need less and less calories? Is it right? Do you feel it?
I only eat breakfast and dinner, but I've been doing that for years. Even when I was young, because I'm always on the move. I'm always active. And to sit down and eat, sometimes it takes away from my fun. Even as a child, you know, my mother would have to drag me aside to go and eat. The older I got, I do notice the food affects me differently. That's why I try to eat as best as I can. I avoid certain things. The portions that I eat, as far as it changes. It changes. If I have a goal, and say my goal this month is to get 50 pull-ups, I'm going to eat less. I'm going to eat, the food is not going to be heavy. I'm not going to eat that much meat. Pause. I'm going to eat more greens. I'm going to drink more shakes. But I'm not going to eat more through the course of the day, though. It's still going to be just breakfast and dinner. Dinner is usually like 8 o'clock. The specifics of what I eat, I could go on. It changes based on my goal again. If I'm trying to lift heavy, if I'm trying to do real endurance sets, I usually eat heavy. Like I don't care as far as eating light to keep my body light, to stay at maybe 148. 148, that's my high rep weight. Mm-hmm. I would say in the 150s, that's my punishing weight. When I say punishing, that means I'm ready for competition weight, where I could do everything.
Okay.
Sorry if I didn't answer the question fully, but
no, it's perfect. That's what it is. Thank you. You said shakes. Is it whey or like is it self-made shakes?
Yeah, self-made shakes. I make shakes mostly with my moss, Griffin moss, which is sea moss. Greens, I use dates. I don't eat any dairy. I don't take any protein supplements. I don't do those. I'm not against it, but I personally don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because
coconut milk, granola, stuff like that, that goes into my shakes, my smoothies.
Okay. Other supplements that you would recommend or that you take yourself?
I take omega-3. That's mm-hmm. that helps me from the tendonitis. I used to suffer from tendonitis back in 2009. You watch my very old videos, you see me wearing like sleeves. I used to have to endure that pain. And from taking the omega-3, that alleviated that. What else did I take? D3, B12, ashwagandha. I'm trying to think. It's a lot, but they all natural herbs and minerals.
Okay.
As far as I could think, it's a lot.
Okay.
But again, they're all natural herbs and minerals that I take.
I can you
can inbox me if you want to know.
I can already see all the young guys running to the drugstore for omega-3 and for this stuff, because I remember when I had like tendonitis in 2015 or some 2015 2016, I was like so desperate in finding a solution. I also like sleeves helped, but like omega-3 also was working well. I think I tried I don't know how to call it, but from crabs, like they also have some stuff for the joints in them. But omega-3 helps, you say?
Yes, big time. And the sugar too. You have to avoid the sugar. Mm-hmm. At first, when it went away, I thought it was because of the one arm pull ups, because that's what really brought the pain. Doing moves like that. I thought it was because I stayed away from those and it helped alleviate the pain, which it did, but it was really my diet. Avoiding that sugar and taking that, the omega-3, the flax seeds, eating a lot of fish, that helped. And, you know, knock on wood, I haven't had it for years, 10 years over.
Great.
So that's good. It's like a curse to me. I don't even like talking about it. Like, tendonitis okay.
We can cut it out of the interview. Great. So, we're coming to an end of the interview. We still have some quick questions, quick answers. What do you prefer, pizza or burger?
Pizza. Pizza all day. I just had pizza yesterday. Pizza all day.
Great. Sounds good. Are you a dog or a cat person?
Dog. I have neither right now. But okay. I'm a dog guy. I love dogs.
Great. Do you have a favorite location for holidays?
Jamaica. Jamaica is my second home. Yeah, I love Jamaica. That's where I do my healing. Real quick, like anytime I would get injured, I go to Jamaica and I'll come back fresh. Wow. And I make sure and document that too, to show I was back from Jamaica fresh and able to do something amazing. It's just the sun and the beach. And I advise anyone that too, anytime you get injured, go take a swim in the beach and just submerge in the beach and just stay there. You don't even have to swim. You just stay in the water and stay there for hours. I guarantee it works wonders. And the coconut water too.
The coconut water. Yeah, but definitely the power of the sea. It's truly amazing. Interesting. Who are the athletes that inspire you?
Oh, wow. There's so many. Mainly my brothers. I don't, questions like that, I feel bad about answering them because I don't like to leave people out. There's so many. Yeah. Of course, all my barbarians, I don't want to leave anyone out, but I'm inspired by all of them, all of them. They know who they are. Outside of barbarians, I would say Doc inspires me because he's been doing it as long as I've been doing it, and he's staying consistent. He's still going. So, I look at people like that. The younger guys, I'm impressed by what they do, but, their consistency, is not enough time for them to show that, to really impress me with that. I got to see years. Okay. There's plenty of guys I've seen in the past. I've seen people come and go, and I don't see them anymore. Guys that used to be strong back then, I don't see them today. Mm-hmm. So again, my barbarian brothers, they really push me and inspire me. And the list goes down from Ice, Sergi, Javi, Snoop, and Tech. All my brothers, Jomo. I feel bad because I'm just running off names, and I can't even. Oh, my two closest brothers, Jude and Andy. They'll turn into me just giving shout outs right now.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'm sorry if I didn't mention your name, guy.
Because I left out the question from the community that was like asked 5 to 7 times, who is your favorite barbarian? But I know that this is a mean question. And I thought that you wouldn't answer it.
Yeah, I can't. All of them are my favorite. Yeah. There's no one in particular. Yeah.
Great. Do you have an exercise that you hate, like a nightmare exercise for you?
Burpees. I hate burpees. There's a 5MD with the burpees. It's 50 burpees, 50 pull-ups. That's the worst 5MD that you can do. Don't ever try that. Okay. I hate burpees. That's my worst exercise.
Okay. Do you have a favorite book that you want to recommend?
Not in particular. This is the last one I'm reading right now. The human connection and how we relate in marketing. That's the latest that I'm reading right now. Nothing that I could recommend offhand. It's just self-improvement books that I read mostly. Not too much stories or novels right now.
Okay, great.
There's so many right now. I'm looking at them right now.
Do you have a favorite calisthenics event that you've visited?
Favorite that I would say... My time in Kazakhstan, I would say that was one of my favorites because it was nonstop working out. They had a park set up indoors in the hotel, and 3 in the morning, no matter what time, there was someone in the gym waiting for me to work out. And I never worked out that much in my life in Kazakhstan. So to me, that's one of the best workout trips I've ever been on. Favorite place I would say workout, I'd say Italy, and that's because most of my brothers got to visit with me. So Italy, I had a real great time there. That's my favorite right now, I would say.
Great. Yeah. And the last question, or no, I have one to put in between. If you have to decide for the rest of your life, what do you like, only one exercise you can continue? Is it push-ups or is it pull-ups or is it a completely different exercise?
Push-ups. Always push-ups.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the first thing I teach. Even my kids, push-ups. That's the first thing I do with everyone too. Start with push-ups. So I guess I'll start with push-ups and end with push-ups.
Okay. Sounds great. Yeah. And the last question, do you have a message to the Calisthenics community and to the listeners?
I wish I wrote that down. My message is to stay true, stay grounded. Don't get caught up in the right now and what you see. Try to be creative. Try to make your own lane. Don't try to copy what someone did, or don't try to outdo them. Really try to outdo yourself. Compete against yourself. I would say that most people, they get caught up in social media and seeing what's the next and trying to follow a wave instead of start their own wave or make their own movement and keep elevating the game. You know, that's how you elevate the game, by creating something new. So don't get caught up in the flashy of today, because those things fade. Don't go for the fast money. Go for the longevity. Go slow grind, work, no matter how long. Even if you don't see progress that night, next day you'll see the progress if you continue and you stay focused. So never give up, man. That's what I would have to say.
Great. Well, we can make a motivational video out of that. Yeah. Thank you. And the last questions, how can people get in touch with you? How can they support you with your Patreon, you said, with your merchandise?
Oh, wow. I have so many. If a lot of people, they usually ask me the same questions all the time. My inbox is full. And the best thing, and I say it's priceless, is my Patreon, because I offer so much and it changes every month. I do one-on-one coaching sometimes. I do group sessions that we work out. Shut up. Groups, that's how long the battery shut up. We do, it's so much that I offer on the Patreon that I don't list because it's so much. And it's Patreon at Zeph Zaccavelli. That's the best. If you're a fan and you wanna progress, all my new videos are on there. I make videos specifically for there. That's why I fell off of YouTube. I don't, you know, focus too much on YouTube anymore. All my videos are there if you guys are looking for them, and that's where I interact more and answer people's questions. So my Patreon, Zeph Zaccavelli. My Griffin Morse, for people that's into C Morse, is more information on that. So that's griffinmorse.com. The Barbarians Gear, the shirts are barbarians.com, or you could go to the IG page, the Barbarians Gear page on IG. Anything else, you follow me on IG, The Real Zaccavelli, inbox me if you have any questions or details about getting more information. And the Zaccavelli the Don on YouTube, and that's it.
Great. We'll put all the 47 links in the description, so everybody can find what he's looking for. And I want to say thank you, really. thank you for taking the time, Zeph. I know you're a busy man, and I really appreciate your time, appreciate your advice that you give to the young generation, to the listeners, whoever listens to this. And also big, big thank you to everyone listening. 1 hour straight, big thing in this short attention generation. So I'm really happy that you stuck with the end. And if it helped you, if you liked it, give it a thumbs up and help us share Zeph's message. And Zeph, you have the last words. Thanks again for your time, and I say goodbye.
Oh, thank you, man. I really admire that you guys reached out to the older guys like me. You know, I was kind of surprised that you know, yeah, I still value hearing stuff from an old guy like me and hearing stuff like, because honestly, I could keep talking for forever. You know, there's so much that we haven't spoken about. But again, you know, thank you also for being patient. You know, I was a little late. We got caught up in the time zone difference. You know, thank you, listeners out there also, you know, for being interested in a guy like me and Barbarians. And, you know, we're going to keep growing. We're going to keep moving forward. Hopefully you guys can aspire to be Barbarians too one day and you have what it takes. And I'll come to your country eventually, man. Hopefully I don't have to get vaccinated. And, you know, I see you guys. You know, I love you guys all, man. And thanks again for having me on your platform.